RadioInfluence.com.
I got him in the white trunks. He heard it.
That's beautiful.
Oh, God.
That's beautiful. He's got it.
And he scores the top.
Wow.
And here comes a mention. And it's all over. It's
nice.
All over. First round knockout.
Big
he's out. Rich Franklin retains his belt.
The one thing that I never thought in a million years would happen, happened.
The champion. The challenger. Here we go.
This is the MMA Report with Jason Floyd on Radio Influence.
Welcome into another edition of the MMA Report podcast. I am Jason Floyd, and this is the interview edition of the show, and I have got four interviews for you here this week. You're going to hear my conversations with the new CFFC bantamweight champion Saeed Kahramanov, who got a victory last week, getting and winning that title. Had a chance to speak with him about the victory and also his move to Team Oyama, which took place last year, and what is potentially next for him. Then you hear my conversation with Dennis Paiva, who's going to be returning to competition here at the end of April at CES 62 in Orlando. Spoke to Sweet Brad about everything that's been going on with him since his fight on the Contender Series and his preparations for this matchup. Then you're going to hear two fighters going to be a part of the Young Guns event coming up this week in Oklahoma, the XFC Young Guns event. You hear from one of the men that's going to be in the main event of the fight card, Braden Smith, who is now training down in South Florida. Spoke to him about his move down to South Florida, also the fact of his move up to the middleweight division. And the final conversation you're going to hear is with Austin Bash. You have his second professional fight here at the XFC Young Guns event coming up here on the 27th, as this is what this Young Guns event is about, putting a spotlight on up and coming fighters, as Austin will now look to go to 2-0 in his career. As always, appreciate everyone that takes time to download and listen to each episode of this podcast. Of course, a great way to show your support for the podcast is by leaving a rating and review on your favorite podcasting platform, and particularly if you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, that really does help me out a lot as well. Of course, you can always check out the sponsors of the MMA Report podcast by going to themmareport.com. It will show you exactly what you can get there in terms of the offers that are my advertisers do have for you. So appreciate all the support I do get here for the podcast. But let's get right into the interview portion. Is up first, you're going to hear my conversation with Saeed, who talks about his win to claim the CFFC bantamweight title. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is a man who won the CFFC bantamweight title, CFFC 92. Saeed, appreciate the time. Obviously, tremendous victory that you had there. When you visualized how this fight was going to go, is that how you saw it going down?
Yes, definitely. I mean, first of all, thank you for having me here. I really appreciate it. When it comes to fight, I mean, it went as I planned. I haven't had interviews before. I told them I will have a short night, and then I did it. So we knew that.
Is it just one of those things when you talk about, hey, I want to have a short night? Is it just realizing that, look, there's things I see on film. I know the holes are going to be there, but also in your mindset of like, you know what, I got to make sure what I'm looking for is there and I don't force anything that's not?
I mean, I didn't force nothing. I mean, I knew, I mean, he's a tall guy. He's a very tricky guy. I mean, he fights only when he walks forward. Once you make him walk back, I mean, he can't do nothing. You know, I watched him, I studied him, I'm a student of the game. I've been studying, fighters like him for a long, long time. Usually, I usually hate to go with guys that are taller, lanky. They're very awkward. You can beat them 10 times out of 10, but when it comes to fighting, some trick will happen and make end your night. But that's where you gotta be careful. And then I had a good plan, and then I knew what I had to do, and everything was there for me.
I know I was watching that interview you did, and you talked about I watch every UFC fight. I'm breaking down all the fighters that are out there, their styles, whatnot. I mean, are you a film junkie of whether it's my opponents or it's myself, it's other fighters, I'm just taking in everything?
Man, I think I'm just a fan of a sport before I'm a fighter. Like, I love the sport so much. Like, I was looking back to my, I was going through my Facebook. I went back to, like, 2014, like, 15. I wasn't even fighting back then. And I was reading my comments. I was talking about, like, man, I want Daniel Cerrone to win so he can fight Conor. Like, I've been fighting. I've been talking about this fight since I was even before the fight, you know? I mean, I've been in the sport all my life, like 8, 9 years old. I've been in the sport, like, you know what I mean? I've been competing. I've been going to gym. Just fighting, it was the fighting was like last sport where after you, after college, usually like what I'm going to do now, I want to compete and make money at the same time. And then the fighting is the best platform that I can do and then I can still be successful at it. And I've been in the sport for a long, long time. People just don't know. Like people, maybe, I mean, people that knows me, they know. But most of the people like you guys, it's like, they don't know about me much because I've been the mostly quiet guy, just doing my thing, like, you know, just fighting and then just, you know, just doing my thing. You know, I don't want to jump off jump before I gotta, you know, make something happen. You know, there's a lot of fighters out there. They're like 2-0, 3-0. They're already making noise. And then they talk about I'm going to have a short night. And they go out there, lose a decision. You know, that's a long night for them. You know, I didn't want to be that guy. You know, I had to practice, train hard, you know. It takes time, you know what I mean? I've been here 5 years, you know. I'm excited to see what's gonna happen with me next 5 years. And you know, I found good people around me, I found a good gym, you know. I'm happy with my management, with my coaches. It's just I'm in a good place, you know what I mean?
What ultimately led you to Team Oyama? Was there something particular about that gym?
I went to California because when I went there, it was pandemic. It was really bad. You know, Illinois was closed down. Everything was closed down. And I was just home and just depressed all day. I'm like, what I'm doing? Like, no life. I don't work. I don't want to work. You know, I don't want to have a job 9 to 5. I had it. I did that 3-4 years. I don't want to do that no more, you know. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to just get away from this place. I went to California. I had my friends out there. I just went to hang out, you know, just a few days, just fresh air. Mm-hmm. And when I was there, I like to train all the time just because I'm on a vacation. Like, I have to train. If I don't train, like, yeah. I feel so bad about myself, you know. I went to California, and I messaged my manager. I'm like, hey, you know, I'm here. I was in L.A. I'm here. Let me just find me a gym so I can go to, because I was looking around, and it was, like, nothing like fighters gym. It was, like, weird, you know. It was a lot of them, so I don't know. And he's like, hey, go there. It's a good place for you. There's a lot of guys that your weight class. I was like, okay, no problem. I listened to him. And then that place was like 45 miles away from LA. You know, it's far, like 2 hours to get there. I was like, no problem. I drove there, you know, I went. The day I walked in, I was like, coach was, I mean, nobody treated me like that in my life. You know what I mean? He showed me love that I never had before. And then it's because, not because of my look, it's because that was after the training session, you know what I mean? It was not before the training session, it was after the training session. He saw what I could do, maybe he believed in me, I guess, you know what I mean? I mean, I still think he believes in me, still to these days. We still gotta do a lot of work. It was just like that, and I ended up in that gym, you know? It was nothing that I wasn't looking for him, it was just my manager found it for me.
In terms of your evolution as a fighter, what do you see as the difference in yourself from, say, a year ago to where you're at now?
The thing is, I never had an easy path. I've been competing against the best guys, like, all my life. I've been in a team. I've been, even back at home, I was in the national team, in Juro, in that. But I came to America. You know, I've been always in the camp, like, training with the good guys. Like, you know what I mean? New York State has a really good wrestling. So I've been training with those guys. They're really good athletic guys. Like, you know, they're good. I train with the good guys all the time. And then when I see these guys, like, they don't do the same what I do, you know. They don't do that. They go to gym. They have 1 hour session. They like to do 101. They want to do privates all the time. No, I don't like to do that. I like to have a team. I like to grind all the time. You know what I mean? That's just the difference between me and these guys. I don't like to do 101 private. To me, it's weird. Like, coach not going to give you the same thing that 20 years old who is hungry as hell trying to take your head off, and you have to defend yourself, and your reflexes has to work, you know. So the team and the hard work is the difference between me and the other guys.
In terms of life outside of fighting, I can hear you talking about it. I mean, the fighting is your life, but how do you decompress from you know those hard days of training just to kind of get your mind off the fight game?
It's hard, man. I literally go to gym. I come home, like, I'm home all day. I don't like to go out, man. Like, to me, I already did all that. I took a time off like the sport for like about a year. I made my money. I was doing real estate. You know, I was working, I know, just not doing anything, eating good food all the time. But at the same time, I wasn't happy. Like, I know I have money, I have everything, but I'm not happy with it. Like, that's not who I am. I have to be in the gym. I have to, like, compete. That's why I looked at my status, like, from 2015. I'm talking about the fight because I was always into it. You know what I mean? I've been always in the sport. That's just who I am. You know, it's just... It's not because I'm making shit up. It's just who I am. You know, my dad took me to gym one time when I was 8 years old. He just took me to the gym one time. That's it. From now on, he never told me, hey, you're going to training. Hey, you got to go to gym. No. He used to tell me, maybe you shouldn't go today. Like, come on. It's one day, nothing. It's not going to do anything bad to you. Just don't go today. I'm like, no, dad, I got to go. Like, you know what I mean? I was that guy. I mean, still to this day, it's like... my dad, if I have to pick up my dad, I'm like, yo, you gotta wait. Like, I gotta train going on. You know? He gets pissed at me. He curses me out and then he hangs up the phone and stuff like this, you know, but the training is just what I do.
Do you remember a certain fight of watching with your dad? Like for me, I remember watching Mike Tyson versus Buster Douglas with my dad. And we couldn't believe what we were seeing. Is there a fight that comes up for you?
No, I don't. It's not like this. I've been in a sport, so we always watch sports. So I don't remember. You know, we always watch fights. There's always something's going on. It's usually I'm the guy. Like, I tell my dad, hey, you're gonna watch this guy. Hey, let's watch this guy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And we have fights going on. Hey, watch this. Like, it's just it's never like father and son watch this one fight. And then I'm like, oh damn, I want to be a fighter. No, I've been doing this since I've been a kid, like second grade, third grade, you know? It's nothing fake, or it's not just I popped up overnight, you know? I've been in the game for over 10, 17, I'm 25. I've been training since I'm 8 years old. So.
You've made it very well known that there's one goal and one goal only, and it's to get to the UFC.
Yeah.
Is it a mindset of like, look, it can be short notice. If you got to go contender series route, you go contender series route. I mean, what's kind of that mentality of what is next for you?
Anything. I mean, my manager always texts me, hey, can you make weight next week? I'm like, yes, good. I'm just ready to go all the time. That's all. I have a no job. I don't do anything else. I go to the gym. I come home. I mean, I'm so thankful and blessed that I have a brother that helps me out financially. Like, you know what I mean? You know, it's hard. Like, you got to pay bills out here. I mean, yeah. So blessed that I have a brother that, like, you know, he has his own family. You know, he still works, but we still, like, figure stuff out, you know. I'm happy that he has to work so I can train, you know. It's just what it is, man.
Of course, look forward to seeing maybe that next fight is in the UFC. Appreciate it, time. Congratulations on winning the CFC title. Of course, let her know anything, follow you on social media and anything else you want to mention.
Yes, follow me on Instagram, Mr. Right Now 135. Twitter is Said Yokub 135.
And that was my conversation with the new CFFC bantamweight champion, Saeed. As definitely a guy you got to pay attention to. Would imagine that the likelihood is his next fight, if it's not in the UFC, probably on the Contender Series, which is slated to return this summer. So I appreciate him taking some time out of his day to talk to me. Come up next, you're going to hear my conversation with Dennis Paiva, who returns to CES, come up here on April the 30th, CES 62, which is taking place here in my home state of Florida. So I had a chance to talk to Sweetbread about you know, what happened last year, you know, kind of, you know, what his mindset is heading into this matchup, and his return to the bantamweight division. Joining me now here on the MMA Report, a man that's going to make his way down to my home state of Florida here at the end of April for CES 62, Dennis Paiva. Dennis, as always, man, appreciate the time. We were actually kind of joking right before we got going here, is the fact that this will be the second time that you fight outside the state or I should say out of the Northeast, fighting in various parts there in the Northeast. Will you take anything away from fighting on the Contender Series and maybe alter anything during fight week?
There's definitely a lot that I learned in that experience. It was my first time fighting out of the CS cage as a professional, and first time fighting without a crowd was a bit different. But the big takeaways were, the self-confidence, right? So I got a lot of, I don't want to say backlash. I'll say I got a lot of constructive criticism, from some near and dear people, that felt as if I didn't turn it on really into the third round. And I think there's a few more factors. Kyle Driscoll was a big boy, in comparison to the size, hence me going back down to bantamweight, and he's moving up to 155. So it kind of shows you the size discrepancy between him and I, but I was able to put leather on him. I was able to drop him twice, once in the first, once in the third, and just having that confidence in my power, having that confidence in my forward pressure, and letting it all kind of hang out, not just being in there and being in survival mode and trying to, look through the trees while I'm in the forest, but, really dictating the pace and stepping forward and having confidence in myself and in my power.
Is that tough criticism here when people have that conversation with you, or is it one of those things that you're like, you know what? I'm glad they spoke their mind to me.
It depends on the people that are saying it and how they're saying it, right? So when it's casuals, the way they're saying it, they don't have a full understanding. So the people that pulled me aside that mean the most to me, it wasn't so you didn't turn it on. It was like, you spent a little more time than you should doing this, and you should, how'd you feel when this happened? And it's hard to break down into variables like that. But, people who just think it's just like, oh, he didn't stop fighting until the third round. I'm like, you have no understanding of what took place. I fought a very dominant wrestler. I knew he was coming in to do what he was doing. He took me down early in the first round, had to weather the storm, find my range. He was, nearly 6 feet tall, a very good size, 145. There's a lot of factors in. So my coaches and my teammates and stuff, they know what's going on. They're a little more educated on the fighting base. The casuals just think it's like a switch to flick. I'm just going to knock somebody out. Like every time I go out there and fight, it's just all I got to do is just run out and knock somebody out. They don't realize that there's a lot of moving pieces and that there's risks that are involved when you put yourself out there, But, ultimately the big takeaway was just confidence in myself, confidence in my power, confidence in my forward pressure and patience when needed, right? You need mm-hmm. It's so hard to find that calculated balance of aggression and patience in a fight. And every fight's different, it's a bit to learn from. Always see the winner, right?
They always talk about that risk versus reward aspect, in the fight of what is the point in the fight where maybe you're willing to take that risk. I mean, is it just a balancing act of just kind of, it's really only something you can decide like in the moment of whether or not to take that risk or not?
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot on the line, right? You get two top guys from opposite ends of the country. They're both, working and fighting for their dream. And, one small step, one wrong zig versus a zag, you can get knocked out. I mean, this is fighting. I mean, it's not – this isn't a board game. This isn't Call of Duty where you can kind of shut it off and turn on the next day and come right back and have it. It's not like a football game or a basketball game where there's this next trip out. It's you get that one opportunity to make those decisions at the split of a second. So yeah, it's sometimes easier said than done, but that's why we do. That's why I fight, because it is hard. I love doing it.
Obviously it's been a rough year for Northeast fighters. I mean, you had a canceled matchup last year. I mean, thankfully you're able to get on that card on the Contender Series, but what has training looked like, since October?
So, immediately after that fight, we went to the hotel And when I say immediately, I was legitimately still in my contender shorts, barefoot, with the blood, you know, trickling down from my nose. And we pulled up the fight and right away wrote things down, minute by minute, round by round, things I wanted to work on. So since that fight, I really kind of took some of the things that I felt like I could improve on, some of the opportunities, and really, you know, put a lot of attention on those areas. So, you know, working my offensive boxing, working my forward pressure, working on my weight, because I knew once I got out of there, I was like, you know, I want to go back down to bantamweight. Like, I was light enough, I probably could have made it for that fight. So I made that, you know, a big thing, you know, for my lifestyle, diet, living the life, working out consistently, but focusing a lot on my jiu-jitsu, focusing a lot on my submission game. There were some opportunities I could have had where I went for a guillotine in the third round and he was able to roll out of it. So it's all these little micro pieces you're fine tuning and really drilling and really honing in on those areas, and that's what I've done in the last few months since that fight, is really work on those areas as best as I can. And my confidence has grown tremendously, and I've made a lot of strides and a lot of improvements in the gym, and I'm really looking forward to showcasing what I've worked on, what I got better on, come fight night in April.
There's a word you mentioned there that I've heard so many fighters recently talk about, and that's focus. Your focus on something in the fight game. You know, in terms of the build up to, for, you know, since your fight against Josh here, like, is it just a collection of things that you're focusing on?
I'm focusing on just fighting the way I need to fight, right? So, you know, when I know for me, when I look at an opponent, you know, you look at a few of their last fights, you look at some of their strengths, some of their weaknesses, and some of the areas you can kind of capitalize where you best fit for them. But what I'm doing is what Josh is doing right now, right? He's rolling the tape back. He's looking at what I've done before in the past. He's looking at my good habits. He's looking at my bad habits, and he's going to look to try to capitalize on those weak areas. And I'm sure he's also working on some of his own weak areas, right? I mean, that's what we should be doing as fighters. And he comes from an elite team, America top team, and he's got a great, you know, great team around him of coaches and compadres and training partners and everything else. But ultimately, yeah, man, you got to focus on yourself. You got to look at what your opponent has to offer and try to build yourself up as best as you can to match up to what they have to offer. Right. But come fight night, some of those things may go right out the window. Right. I could sit here and say he's the greatest wrestler I've ever seen. He's, you know, he's got some decent strike, and he may come out and have great striking and not wrestle at all. And now the game plan that I thought I was going to have goes right out the window, and I need to make those adjustments. So confidence in my full package, confidence in myself is first and foremost. And again, focusing on the areas of weakness that I feel that I've had, so that if I encounter those areas throughout the fight, you know, I'm not in any type of shock value.
It's kind of it's a unique moment for you. Yes, it's a CES banner, but you're the out of town guy in this one. Do you like playing that role finally?
Yeah, but I can tell you this, man, I got a lot of people down in Florida, and although I'm coming into this guy's backyard, I think that's one of the things he's going to be taking away. You know, the amount of support I have in the state of Florida is tremendous. And I wouldn't be surprised that 25% of that room is there rooting for me easily.
In terms of, you mentioned about the amount of Florida people down here, is you plan a little vacation once this fight's over, kind of booking the fight around a vacation?
Not at all. So what I'm doing actually is I'm driving down the weekend before the fight, packing up my computer system, which I have here in front of me. It's kind of what I did in Vegas. I'm going to work for three of the days while I'm there. I took off the day of weigh-ins. I took off the day of the fight. I'll celebrate and hang out, you know, the Saturday. And then that Sunday morning, 3 a.m., back in the car, driving back home so I could be to work on Monday again.
I couldn't do that, man. I'm not a long distance driver. I'll tell you, so I was in Orlando the past couple of days, and driving there and driving back, it's usually with no traffic, it's about an hour and a half drive, not too bad, but it took us a little more than 2 hours of just kind of getting stuck in some bumper to bumper traffic. I'm not made for that life, man. Put me on a plane.
And I've had a lot of people ask me, like, well, why are you driving down? Like, why not just fly? And I'm bringing a lot of stuff with me between my gear, my computer. I got an infrared sauna, a portable sauna for Christmas. And I'm bringing that down to help with the cut, the weight cut. And I really, really enjoy being in there versus being in the bath. So I'm bringing that down. I got some shirts and stuff I'm bringing down. My nephew's riding down with me. I got a buddy of mine that's riding down with me. So when you kind of look at everything coming along, the cost is a bit better for me to drive down than this to fly. Although the flights are so cheap, you know, the traveling and packing and shipping, all that stuff, it'll be terrible. It'll be too much. So I get to leave my own accord. You know, the ride, it's never – the ride up is usually the worst part for me. I don't mind the ride down. The ride down I do in like 16, 17 hours. I usually do it overnight. And then by like 7 o'clock in the morning, I'm hitting like South Carolina. And at that point, I usually let whoever else is in the car with me drive for those next 4 or 5 hours until we fuel up again. And then I take back over until we're in Palm Coast, which is where I'll be staying.
Yeah, I just couldn't do it, man. I just could not do it. But look, I get the financial side of it. I get it. You bring a ton of stuff with you. Yeah, that cost is going to add up here pretty quickly. But yeah, it's just I've never been the long car. Like I've done like a 7 hour drive. But yeah, I'd ride on a plane.
Dude, I've done this ride by myself back and forth a few different times now. And I've done it with friends. I've done it with family. I've done it with my wife. My wife was actually flying down the day of the flight and then taking the ride back up with me. So, and my nephew is staying down and my buddy, Fabio Charan is taking the ride down with me and we'll have some good laughs, listen to some podcasts, some car karaoke, you know, and hopefully along the way up, I'll be able to stop and eat some, not so skinny friendly food. So I think the ride down might be a little more difficult. I'll be fasting and stuff and water loading and hopefully not peeing every 5 minutes, which will probably be the case. So it'll be, you know, it is what it is. Like I said, the ride down, you're usually excited, right? You got like the ride through, it goes kind of quick. And I'm hoping that the ride up the day after, you know, celebrating from the fight, whether win, lose, draw, whatever happens, you know, just celebrating the moment. Celebrating the win. We'll be a good ride up, you know, something to talk about.
And of course, the fight's here on April the 30th, live on UFC Fight Pass CES 62. Dennis, as always, man, appreciate the time. Of course, let everyone know they can find you on social media. Anything else you want to mention?
No, man. I mean, I appreciate you having the time. And we're going back and forth now for a few years, taking these interviews as the fights come around. But yeah, I hope everybody tunes in. If you're in the state of Florida and you're around the Orlando area, it's pretty centralized. Try to make way. I want, you know, not only for myself, but for everybody else fighting on the card who hasn't had a chance to fight in front of a live audience. It's going to feel really good to have all those people there again, hooting and hollering and whatnot, you know, especially for me and my family. I got a lot of family and friends out of Florida. So I got family and friends that have never watched me fight live. So it'd be a first for a few people that are near and dear to me. But yeah, as far as social media goes, you know, I do a little bit with the Twitter every now and then, but mainly it's been Instagram, sweetbread_135. And yeah, Bread's back to Bantamweight, baby.
And that was my conversation with Dennis Paiva. Appreciate him taking some time out of his day to talk to me about his matchup coming up here at the end of April, CES 62, and his return to the Bantamweight division. Coming up next, you're going to hear my conversation with Braden Smith, who is going to be in the main event of the XFC Young Guns event coming up here this week on the 27th, as he is going to be moving up to the middleweight division. So I had a chance to talk to Braden about that decision to move up to 185 pounds. And a wide range of other topics. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is one of the men that's going to be the main event of the XFC Young Guns event come here on March the 27th in Oklahoma. Braden, appreciate the time. Obviously, Ben, you're able to get back into competition here. First time since 2019. Like, obviously, it's been a rough battle for everyone in the mixed martial arts industry over the last year or so. But how do you describe what's been going on with you since your last fight?
Well, for me, it wasn't too much of the whole COVID thing. It was just I had to self-assess and make sure that I was at a high level before I went on this journey, you know, the rest of the way. Because I made it up in my mind, you know, like I don't want to be just another fighter or just a UFC fighter. Like I want to be a world champion, and I'm young, so I was like, and I was really young then, so I was like, you know, I just need to take my time and keep getting better and train with the best guys in the world before I actually fight them. So that's really what it was for me. The COVID thing just kind of held me back in training for a couple months, you know, because everything shut down right when I got to Florida. It was just an odd timing, but I mean, yeah, everything happened, you know, it was a blessing in disguise.
In terms of your self-assessment of yourself, what was the biggest thing that stuck out to you as you looked at everything?
Skills, for one. Like, I was just young in the game and I was green, and I had to realize that. And I think that sometimes you have to hold yourself back, you know, so that, you know, patience tastes bitter, but the aftertaste is so sweet. So, I'm just, you know, took my time. And then also too, even my mind a little bit, you know, like I wanted to kind of reprogram myself and, you know, make sure I had the mindset that champions have. And I started just, you know, studying, you know, over the lockdown, I read a lot of books on champions and stuff like that. And I noticed after I read a lot of these books, I was noticing, like, in the gym when I train with these high-level guys, like, how their minds work and stuff like that. And I just assessed the way they carried themselves and stuff like that, and just different approaches and how competitive they were every day in the gym. You know, you train with Rashad, and he's been retired, and it's like, that dude is competitive, like, you know. So that was more so what it was.
You know, one of the things about this matchup is it's at middleweight, not welterweight, where we have seen you in the past. Is this a permanent move to 185, or was it about the opportunity?
Oh, it's definitely a permanent move. I can't make no 170 anymore. It was getting hard for the last few fights. You know, I was 23, and I was growing, and then I started lifting and getting stronger, and I just had to get stronger mainly. I was already pretty big, you know, I was in the upwards towards 200, and then I started lifting. Smart, I wanted to do it right. I didn't want to, like, bulk up. I wanted to get strength and then let the weight grow naturally, and I got up to, like, 210. So I definitely don't want to fight at 170 again, you know. I actually feel, like, I feel amazing. Like, I've been eating so much, like, this whole camp. Like, I can train, like, twice as much. Like, I can train, like, 4 practices a day, like, for, like, a solid, like, 5 or 6 weeks, because, like, I can eat. Like, I can eat like Michael Phelps. Like, it's amazing. But I've eaten clean. I actually eat cleaner now than I did then. So.
Do you feel like being at 85 that more of the focus is actually on the training as opposed to what am I weighing? How much weight do I need to lose today? Cause, like, I've heard that from other fighters that, you know, who, you know, say, look, I was just cutting a massive amount of weight, and training camp was about weight management as opposed to working on my skills.
Yeah. 100%. It's like, I actually weighed myself 3 times this entire training camp. And it was like, I didn't even weigh myself until, like, 2 weeks out, or no, not 2 weeks out. It was probably like 3 weeks out. I weighed myself and I'm like 201. So I was like, yeah, this is great. Like, cause once I started, you know, once I went, like, I was 210. And then once I started training, you know, like 4 times a day, my weight just went down to 200, like, really fast. With 170, I would actually walk, like, I would be heavier sometimes because I feel like my body was, like, starving. So it would, like, it would hold more. It's a weird thing, you know, but the energy is high. And, like, the weight's going to come off easier fight week because, like, I've been eating so much and training so much harder. So it's, like, I feel like my metabolism is going to be, like crazy. Probably only have to cut like 7 pounds of water, which will be nice.
And of course, as we're talking, we're just about a week away now from this fight. You get Franklin Patterson, you know, an up and down fighter. I mean, you know, win loss, you know, over his past couple of fights. But what's your overall take of Franklin?
Man, I'm honestly coming to mess up his credit score with a lot of medical bills. I don't you know, I have as much respect as, like, I have to, you know, you always have to give your opponents respect, but it's like, I know where my skills stand, and it's not even just because it's him. It's, I've been sparring, a Muay Thai and point karate world champion, like, my whole camp, so it's like, I don't, like, sparring makes me nervous, like, I'm not scared of this fight, you know, I just got to go out there and, you know, get my range down and then start lighting them up, like, it's just a dub. So
what has the focus of this training camp been?
Survive Roman Hamad. No, but I have this training partner that I've been training with almost every day, and he's a purple belt in jiu-jitsu. He's practically like a wonder boy with elbows. Mm-hmm. And like, it's like, I've never had somebody to compete with that hard, like every day in practice, like pretty much every day, you know. And they bring in, you know, high level jiu-jitsu guys for us and stuff like that. And like, and striking is just, it's like, it's scary, like going to spar him. So it's like, it's sink or swim. Like, I'm just getting better every day. And then they gave me an opponent, and, you know, I want to strike in this fight. I could definitely submit him if I wanted to. I think he's more of a jiu-jitsu guy, but it's like, if I just want to, I want to get some cage time, like with some striking, but if he can hold in there, then I can get some cage time. If not, I'll do it in the next fight.
Do you have any goals for 2021?
I want to fight at least every 3 or 4 months. I'm not going to rush. Like, I've had times where I fought like every month, you know, and I don't want to do that. You know, I'm 25 years old, and it's like, I truly believe that, you know, I'm creeping up, like, skill wise, like into the top 10, like in the UFC, you know? So it's like, I want to take my time, and I believe that, like, in a year, you know, I could possibly be good enough to win the world title at the highest level. And so I'm not rushing, you know. When it comes, I'm going to be ready for it. So, you know, everything will come in due time.
Looking on your Tapology page, it has a nickname as HP. So what is the origin of this?
So when I first started training, I don't even know if I'm going to use that nickname, but anymore, you know, maybe I just reinvented myself, and I'm just going to go with the flow. But I got that nickname because I came in and trained when I was like 17, and I'd been training like a year, and I had kind of like shaggy hair, and I wore glasses. Like, if you look at my old pictures, I looked really geeky. And so Matt Grice, he fought in the UFC. He gave me that nickname. He was like, man, like he's scrappy, but he looks like Harry Potter. So they started calling me HP, and then, you know, so it was pretty funny. But I don't know, I might change it. I might just not have a nickname. I don't know.
So do any guys down there in South Florida have a nickname for you?
No, we haven't talked about it at all. So we haven't thought about it. I just thought about that like a month ago. I was like, dang, I wonder if my nickname's going to be the same, because I started looking back at fights and stuff.
And of course, everyone's going to be able to see your fight here March 27th, the main event of the XFC Young Guns event number 1 in Shawnee, Oklahoma. Braden, appreciate time. Let me know anything, follow you on social media, and anything else you want to mention.
I just want to give a shout out to my team, ACG. It's a new up and coming gym with Charles McCarthy, Frank Lester. You know, I got, you know, good training partners, Roman Hamad, you know, Rami. Shout out to Rashad. Shout out to everyone who's helped me. And then shout out to my friends and family back home.
Appreciate Braden Smith coming on the podcast. We talked about his fight coming up here this week in the main event of the XFC Young Guns event in Oklahoma. And speaking of that fight card, our final guest will be a part of that fight card. He looks to go to 2-0, Austin Bashy. So here's my conversation with Austin Bashy. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is a man that's going to have his second professional fight here coming up on March the 27th, XFC Young Guns number 1 in Oklahoma. Austin, appreciate the time. Quick rise here, you know, in your young career here so far. One of the things that kind of really stuck out to me when I was looking at your Tapology was the fact of your amateur debut is just about a year ago. You have 2 amateur fights in 1 month. And then you make the pro debut back at the end of last year. So kind of was it always a part of the plan to kind of have, you know, short amount of amateur fights before making that pro? Or is it one of those things of you and your coach that's like, you know what, let's just make the move now?
You know what? Yeah, we actually wanted a couple more amateur fights, but it was just impossible to get fights. Opponents would back out. They wouldn't show up. And then the whole COVID thing happened, so it was impossible to find fights. So me and my coaches talked with each other, and we made the decision on going pro. We know I could compete with the best there is, so we made that decision.
I know in looking at your Facebook, martial arts has been a part of your life from a very young age. You had a post there. I want to say it was you were 14 years old with a Muay Thai fight?
Yeah, 13 maybe it was. Yeah.
So when does this journey actually start for you? Was it something that your parents got you involved in martial arts at a young age?
You know, me and my brothers and cousin just always loved to watch fighting, and we always enjoyed it. And then one of my cousins came over, actually, and said, come join, try it out. So me and my brother went, tried it out, and that's when it started. I was 8 years old.
Do you remember what you enjoyed the most about martial arts from the start?
You know, I enjoyed everything of it, just the going there, practicing, and I loved everyone there, and since the very beginning, I have a really strong relationship with the coaches, and till today, I'm with those coaches.
Did you know it was always going to be the MMA route as opposed to any other discipline?
Yeah, you know, I always had the goal of being a world champion, so since I was there from the beginning, that was the goal, and till today.
I mentioned about that pro debut back at XFC 43. You get a decision win. What was your takeaways from that fight?
You know, we learned a lot. It was a pretty big fight. There was, of course, a lot of pressure on it, too, with it being on national television. But it was a great experience. We took a lot of takeaways from it, watched the film, and we've been improving every day since that day.
As you think about how you've improved since that matchup, is there something that you notice in yourself more than anything else?
You know, just kind of just watching it from the outside perspective, I know I could do a lot better, and we have a lot of tools we didn't use that fight that I feel like this next fight, I'm going to bring them all out.
Is it just something, like I was talking to Justin Jacoby the other day, and he was talking about blending all forms of martial arts and says, you know, sometimes that just, there's stuff you're working on in the training room that for whatever reason just doesn't translate on fight night. Is that what you're kind of talking about there?
Yeah, exactly. Like there's so much stuff I trained for, and I wasn't really using them too much. Besides, I was just kind of wrestling the whole time. When honestly, my best part of my game, I feel like, is my striking. So you guys will see a lot more of that.
Is there a reason why you believe striking is the best part of your game?
I don't know. Honestly, I've been training Muay Thai, Jiu-Jitsu the same amount of time, but just I feel like striking is the best thing I have.
You're in the co-main event of this card. You're also facing another fighter who's 1-0 in his career in Mason. What's your thoughts on Mason as an opponent?
You know, he looks like he's a tough fighter, of course, but that's what we want. We want these tough fights, and this is the thing I love, those tough fights. That brings the best out of me.
What do you see as what makes him tough?
You know, it looks like he has some good striking. He looks pretty well-rounded. I know he has some experience, so that's what makes him tough.
The fact that you're both so young in your career, is there ever a thought of you think there could be a feeling out process between both of you? Are you just trying to feel each other out at the beginning of the fight, or is that just not in your DNA to do that?
You know, every fight, that first like 30 seconds to a minute is kind of that feeling out process to see how the opponent is, and then after that, then it just head-on-head collision.
Is also part of that also kind of go at the weigh-ins where you know, obviously in COVID life, it's a little different, but do you kind of like to kind of, you know, give that up and down look to your opponent and maybe try to get that handshake just to kind of see maybe, you know, how strong they might be?
Yeah. That's all. Yeah. Since the first day you see him at weigh-ins till the end of the night, that's how it is. Try to just see every little thing about it.
In terms of your life outside of fighting, what do you do to get your mind off the fight game?
You know, I hang out with the family a lot, play a good amount of tennis and golf with my dad in the spring and summer, and just go out to eat with them and just have a good time, honestly.
Now, are you just as competitive on the tennis court or the golf course as you are inside the training room?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and so many fighters say, you know, I hate losing. And it doesn't matter what it is. Is that pretty much describe you?
Pretty much, yeah.
In terms of, you know, pop-up question I've been asking fighters is, what is a favorite app on your phone that's not social media related?
Honestly, I try to stay away from the phone as much as possible. Really? I try to do so. Besides the social media, honestly, I try not going on the phone as much, too much.
Would there be anything that your fans would be surprised to know about you?
Nothing really. Honestly, I'm just mainly just training and fighting. That's what I've been doing for a while. So.
Is it tough for you to get your mind off the fight game?
You know, no, yeah, of course it is, because every time all you're thinking about is just training, fighting, who you're getting ready for. So, yeah, my mind's pretty much on all day.
And, of course, everyone's going to see your fight here in the co-main event of Young Guns 1 XFC on March the 27th. Austin, appreciate the time. Of course, let me know anything, find on social media and anything else you want to mention.
Yeah, you could just find me on social media, Facebook and Instagram, just at Austin Bashy.
And there you have my conversation with Austin Bashy. Appreciate him coming on the podcast to talk about his fight coming up here this week at the XFC Young Guns event. Of course, speaking of that event, you can head over to themmareport.com to watch the conversation I had with XFC president Myron Malachi as he talked about this event that is coming up here this week. And of course, this is a part of the XFC promotion to show, you know, put a spotlight on some young and up and coming fighters. So you can head over there to watch the interview that I had with Myron Malachi if you haven't missed it here on the MMA Report podcast. Of course, all of the interviews are in video form over at the MMA Report, also on the MMA Report YouTube channel. Of course, coming up on the next episode of the podcast on Wednesday, myself and Daniel will take a look back at what happened last night at UFC Vegas number 22, Derek Brunson, once again, going out there and, you know, what you would call was the B side of the fight, once again, goes out there and gets a win over Kevin Holland. So I'm sure myself and Daniel will talk about what we saw happen in that matchup. Of course, also coming up here on the next episode of the podcast, we are going to preview UFC 260, which of course is going down here on Saturday night, of course, headlined by Stipe Miocic versus Francis Ngannou. Of course, so the co-main event was also supposed to be a title fight between Alexander Volkanovski and Brian Ortega. However, that is not happening anymore, as Alexander Volkanovski is out of the fight card as he announced that he has tested positive for COVID. The news was announced on the UFC broadcast last night, and when Volkanovski put out a statement which he said, quote, "So devastated to share that I've tested positive for COVID-19 and my fight is off and will be rescheduled. I tested negative leaving Australia, negative before entering the UFC bubble, but my latest test was positive. We have worked so hard getting ready for this fight, and I'm absolutely gutted that this has happened. We followed every policy and process to remain COVID-free, but it wasn't meant to be this time. Thanks to everyone here in the States for your support since arriving, and everyone back home and around the world for your positive message to my fans. I'm certain I'll be bouncing back stronger than ever before." And of course, so when he put that statement out, then it kind of made sense of why Brad Riddell was pulled from last night's UFC show as a training partner of Alexander Volkanovski. And I did see Brian Ortega did put a video out where he essentially said, "Hey, you know, get healthy and we'll rebook this." So maybe potentially, we'll see what the timeline is, you know, of how quickly Volkanovski is able to recover. And, obviously we've seen some fighters take a long time, you know, and I know people kind of speculating that May 15th could potentially be the next time he steps in there. So we'll see what the, all signs will kind of point to. Vicente Luque versus Tyron Woodley now likely being the new co-main event of UFC 260. Overall, a pretty good fight card. Obviously, you know, the main event of Miocic and Ngannou. I haven't had a chance to watch the countdown special yet, but that's definitely something I'm planning to take in. You know, what does Sean O'Malley, you know, look like? You know, how does he bounce back from that loss now taking on Thomas Almeida? Of course, you know, Thomas Almeida was once seen as this rising prospect. You know, William Knight, Alonzo Menifield's on this card. Of course, that was a fight that was supposed to happen a couple weeks ago, but did not due to COVID protocols. Same thing with Miranda Maverick and Jillian Robertson was supposed to take place a couple weeks ago. That did not happen. You know, interesting to see Modestus Bukauskas back in there, a guy that I've had a chance to interview on several occasions, as he's, you know, see how he can bounce back in terms of this one. But, you know, Lucas Gallagher, you at the main event, myself and Daniel, we will break that one down for you. Of course, we're getting closer to the return of Bellator. Actually just finished all of my Bellator rankings. So I believe those are going to come out, I think, sometime this week. I know the deadline to submit those is tomorrow, March 22nd. I want to say it's either noon Eastern time or 3 o'clock Eastern time. So I actually just actually going to kind of go through my rankings once again today, just kind of make sure I'm happy with everything. But, yeah, it was a good process. And you know, I'm going to be transparent on this podcast about the rankings. And, of course, if there's anything you guys want to know about the rankings, you know, just shoot me a message and I'll certainly, you know, shoot over, you know, and get back to you with what it may be. So, you know, it'll be interesting to kind of see what the rankings come out as. I believe, if I'm correct on this one, I do not think they're going to release everyone's individual rankings. It'll just be, you know, how many first place votes they got and exactly where do they rank. So it'll be kind of interesting. You know, actually, the division I think that was probably the hardest for me to rank was actually men's pound for pound. Women's pound for pound was pretty easy just because there wasn't a ton of fighters to really look at. You know, obviously it was Chris Cyborg and then everyone else. You know, men, obviously, it was very, you know, started off, it was easy. Number one is Patricio Pitbull. And then after that, you know, you start kind of figuring out some of those fighters that you want to get in there. But it's going to be good to have Bellator back. They're back April the 2nd. Of course, they'll start off as that'll be a part of Showtime. There actually was a press release they put out the other day about some, you know, older fights that are going to be on Showtime here leading up to the April the 2nd event. Of course, headlined by Patricio Pitbull and Emmanuel Sanchez. You know, just kind of looking at that card, just kind of over here, MMA Junkie, looking at the fights that kind of stick out to me on that card. Maz Burnell versus Saul Rogers is one that sticks up there. Magomedov is supposed to be on that card, but opponent to be determined. Fortune versus Mitrione, I think, is kind of something interesting. Neiman Gracie versus Jason Jackson. That's a huge matchup there in the welterweight division, as, you know, seeing what they're going to do there for the next title matchup for Douglas Lima. Maybe it is Amosov is maybe going to get that one, but, you know, it's going to be good to have Bellator back. PFL is back, you know, 1 month from now. So it's a busy time in the world of mixed martial arts. Of course, if there's anybody you want to hear on this podcast, you know, there's a wide range of ways that you can get in touch with me. You can shoot me an email, jason@themmareport.com. You can also send me a DM on Instagram. My handle is @jason_Floyd, same exact handle that I have on Twitter. Of course, as always, appreciate everyone that takes the time out of their day to listen to this podcast. Of course, new episodes come out every Sunday and Wednesday on radioinfluence.com and your favorite podcasting platform. Of course, until Wednesday, this has been the MMA Report Podcast. I am Jason Floyd. Of course, be sure to give me a follow on social media @Jason_Floyd. Also, help me grow my YouTube channel, the MMA Report YouTube channel. We're trying to grow that audience more and more. So if you can, you know, if you can hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell, and also be sure to like the videos that are on there. That really does help me a lot as well. So that is going to do it for this edition of the MMA Report Podcast, which comes out 2 times a week on Sunday and Wednesday on RadioInfluence.com and your favorite podcasting platform.